Mighty, the mighty, the mighty, come here, Maddie. We'll be the leader right there. All right, Kathy's the leader today. Man, look at all these warriors coming, man. Hang on. Maddie, come here. Y'all, hang tight right there. Come here, Maddie. Tell this congregation what this thing is right here. Can you all see that? Y'all got eagle eyes in the back, Randall. Everybody see that? Everybody see that? Tell me what that is, Maddie. Some of you look at this and say, that's just a little acorn. Hogs used to eat those in the woods. No, God sees it as an oak tree. He sees every seed in here this morning as powerfully potential. Just like He looks at these kids. These are world changers. These are pastors, leaders, teachers. These are people that God's going to use in the community and in the world to change the world. Amen? So, on that, let's give them a big cheer and send them out with a big shout, okay? Amen. Thank you all. Change things up here just a little bit. For the next few minutes, we're going to. Ginger and Horace are going to share something with you this morning, and so powerfully important. So I'm going to let.
No, I'm not going to preach today. Well, at least I'm not planning to. I'm just going to let God lead me where He wants to lead me. I made some notes. Because I felt like when I got up in front of everybody, my mind would go blank. It's a whole lot different standing up here looking out at you all than it is back there with you, blending in. Becky's going to start a song here in just a moment with video, and it's very, very powerful. I ask each of you to look at it. She's going to play a couple minutes of it. I ask each of you to watch it and relate to it at some point or another. I can assure you, each and every one of you in here has experienced some kind of hurt, hang-up, or habit, if not all three. So if you can just watch a couple minutes, and then once she stops after a couple minutes, I'll speak to you.
And all the thieves will come confess
Okay, we're going to stop it there. If you want to, you can leave the lights off. That way I don't, I'm not in the light. This is just so not me. And I want everyone to know I'm just trying to be obedient to God, because this is just not me to get up in front of a bunch of people. I'm okay, like I said, if I'm back there with all of you. But I felt that, I know that God wanted us to talk about this. Redemption recovery. Redemption recovery. What does everybody think about when I say redemption recovery? I know what most people think about. Most people think about addictions. You think about addictions, you think about people who are addicted to drugs or alcohol. It's not just about addictions. It's about hurts, hang-ups, and habits. I'm going to define redemption for you and recovery. Redemption is, in simple terms, is deliverance, rescue. Thank you. The way we see redemption is deliverance from sin, salvation. Redemption to us is salvation. It's a new life. It's reborn. But redemption, in simplest terms, deliverance, rescue. Addictions, recovery. Recovery is restoration to a better or former condition. So redemption, recovery, deliverance, rescue, restoration to a better or former condition. Doesn't say anything about addictions. Addictions, as Rick Warren describes it, the book that we were working in, Life's Healing Choices by John Baker. John Baker is the founder of Celebrate Recovery, if anybody's ever heard of Celebrate Recovery. A recovery program. John Baker is the founder of that. And in his book, Life's Healing Choices, Rick Warren wrote the foreword. And in his foreword, I'm going to quote what he said. He said that the Bible teaches that all of us have some form of addiction. Sin is addicting, and all have sin. That means we've all created ungodly and unhealthy methods for handling life. Not one of us is untainted. And because of sin, we've hurt ourselves, we've hurt other people, and others have hurt us. I want to speak a little bit about hurts, which I know everybody in here at some point has suffered some kind of a hurt. A definition for hurts: emotional pain. To heal it, we need to acknowledge it. Some examples of hurts: rejection, loneliness, loss of a loved one, trauma. A traumatic experience involving our own safety can shatter the pieces of our lives, destroy our relationships, and overthrow or sabotage our identity. Those are just a few examples of what hurts are, but I want to talk to you about a personal experience in my life of a hurt. And again, like I said earlier, hurts, hang-ups, and habits we all at some point suffer from. I can tell you, without a doubt, I have each one of them. I'm not going to talk about every one of them, but I am going to talk about a hurt. Please bear with me. Many of you already know this. Some of you don't. But I have a son who is in prison. And he has a problem with alcohol. And every time he's ever been in trouble, it's been because of alcohol. So he has an addiction, and he's been suffering from this for several years now. First time he talked to me about it, he was 19 years old, and he said, "Mom, I know I have a problem." He had gotten in trouble again because of alcohol, and he said, "I know I have a problem. I just don't know what's wrong with me." I started taking him to doctors. I took him to doctors, and I had him evaluated, and they come back and said that he has ADHD and that he's bipolar. Still not convinced he's bipolar. Bipolar and ADHD, from all the research I've done, run a lot real close together in their symptoms and how they can affect you. And he may be bipolar, but he was diagnosed with that. He was diagnosed with impulse disorder, which runs along with ADHD. very impulsive, and so the last thing he needs to do is drink. But he recently admitted to me that by drinking, he felt numb. He felt normal. He could blend in. And what I want you all to think about is people who have addiction problems just have a different kind of problem than what we have. If we don't have an addiction problem, we've got another problem, I can assure you, but it's something different. But for people with addiction problems, some of those people, if not most of those people, are self-medicating. They're trying to take care or cover up or hide a problem that they have, whether it's bipolar, depression, severe anxiety. For a lot of people, it is severe anxiety. The only way they can feel comfortable anywhere is if they're drinking or taking drugs. And for other people, if they didn't have that problem before they had the problem with an addiction, say they were just drinking, partying, trying to blend in, have fun with their friends, peer pressure, they didn't have that problem to start with, you can bet they're going to have it after they've done drugs or alcohol for a period of time. So either way, the mind games, the mind's going to get you. It's going to get you whether you were having problems before you become addicted or if you're having them after you become addicted, but it's a struggle and it's a life struggle. But you know, God gave me peace about my son Trey. And he's been in prison now for going on 5 years for a DUI probation violation. He had already been in trouble, so when he broke probation or violated his parole, he went back. And he's going on 5 years. But when he got in trouble that time, I had been praying morning and night. I prayed for our children, both my children. I prayed and prayed morning and night that God would shield them and protect them, that he would draw them into him. So when Trey got in trouble, of course, I did like most of us do. I questioned God about it. And I said, why? I've been praying. I trusted you to take care of him. I've been praying that you would keep him out of trouble. And God said these simple words to me: he's alive. You know, that was my peace about where he is, because I really believe if he had not gotten in trouble, he may not be here today, or somebody else's loved one may not be here today. And Trey agrees with that. And he's coming a long way. And even though he's not saved and he doesn't know God, I know that God is moving in his life by evidence of things he says to me. He says to me, Mom, I know there's a purpose for everything. I believe there's a God, but I just can't live that life. He said, but I believe there's a God, and I believe there's a purpose for everything. And so he has come a long way, because he wouldn't have said that 5 years ago, I can tell you that. The next thing I want to talk about, hang-ups. Hang-ups is described as an emotional preoccupation, an idea that preoccupies the mind and holds the attention, an unforeseen obstacle, something immaterial that stands in the way. What does that tell you? If you got a hang-up and it's an obstacle, it's probably going to stand between you and God. It's probably going to keep your focus on something that's not even related to what God or who God is. Some examples of a hang-up are guilt, been there, failure, low self-esteem, anger, and those are just to name some of the hang-ups that you can suffer from. And again, If you're focusing on the hang-ups that you have or the hurts that you have, you're not focusing on God. The last thing that redemption recovery is about, habits. Defined as a routine that is repeated regularly and tends to occur unconsciously. Some examples: procrastination, overspending, overeating, smoking, alcohol, and drugs. There are many different types of habits. and hurts and hang-ups. This brings me to a point. And again, this I really believe in my heart is from God. Several months ago, Tony Boggs, who is not here today, was going to have surgery. And Pastor R. asked him to come up here so that we could pray for him. I don't remember. Helen, do you remember when that was, when he was going to have his surgery? Was that long ago? Okay, God would start dealing with me then. And at first, I thought it was about Tony. And he came up here, the men gathered around him to pray for him. Harless and I sat three or four pews from the back. And I just stretched forth my hand and started praying for him. But as I was praying for him, praying for his back, praying for the back surgery, God spoke to me. The battle is in the mind. Now, right away, I start praying for Tony and his mind because I felt that's what God was saying to me. But God said, not just him. So I thought, okay, God, I know I've got battles. So I started praying for myself that he would help me to see him, to focus on him. And God said, it's not just you. It's a church body. God told me that everybody in here, and I started seeing faces before me of everybody in here that's suffering from some kind of problem, some kind of issue, some kind of hurt or something that you have to get your focus on, and you lose focus of God. God said, you can't see me. You can't see me because you're focused. You're seeing all your problems, and you can't see me for all your problems. And he wanted me to get up and talk about it that day. And I questioned whether or not it was really God, and made excuses for why I shouldn't get up and talk about it. And Pastor R. was doing a message at the time where he was actually, and I am ashamed to admit, I can't remember what I was going on because I was dealing with this struggle with God. But he was having people come up. I think the porters had come up and stood over here to the side. Different ones had come up here, and he had called them out and have them come up here and stand. Throughout this entire time, I was feeling like I need to speak up, but I'm like, but I don't know if it's you, God, because you wouldn't have me interrupt Pastor R, because he's really giving a powerful message right now, and I don't think I need to interrupt that. So I kept making excuses why I shouldn't speak, and I said, if you make a way, if you make it happen, I'll do it. Well, he probably did several times, but I didn't take any one of those times. And the final time was when he asked for an individual to come up without him calling him out. You come up here and you stand. Do you remember that message? I wished I could remember what it was representing, but I don't. I'm sorry. But at that point, I'm like, this is it. God really wants me to go up there so that I can speak and say what he's put on my heart to speak to the church. Well, I sat there too long because Willie got up. And I don't know if she remembers, but she got up and she went up there and she stood. And I knew I'd passed a chance up. And when we left that day and we got out in the car, I told Harless, I said, yeah, I'm feeling really, really bad right now because I feel like God wanted me to do something that I didn't do. And, of course, that's when he proceeded to tell me, this is why you should do something when God tells you to do something. Don't question it. Coming from somebody who has no problem whatsoever getting up and talking in front of everybody, but I felt this tremendous heaviness on my heart that day because I thought about whoever it was that was in here, whether it was all of us or if there was just an individual, even if it was just one person, needed to hear God say, get your focus off your problems and put it on me. There is nothing that you're going through. There's nothing that any one of us are going through that he can't walk us through. And he can't be there with us to see us through it. He spoke something else to me here recently, and I was questioning him again about somebody else, of course, but I was questioning him, and it always comes back to me or everybody in general. You know, God doesn't compare his children. You know, we shouldn't compare ours. I think you're the kind of parent you need to be. You don't compare your children. You love each and every one of them individually, just like God does us. There's nothing that we can say or do that's going to make him love us any less. And there is nothing that we can say or do that's going to make him love us anymore. He loves us unconditionally. I've always said, I believe that's why he gave us children. So we can have some kind of idea and understand his love for us, because we can never love the way God loves us. But what he spoke to me when I was talking to him was that I was asking about someone and how powerful a message they'd given, or something that they had done, the ministry or something that God had called them for. And I said, I know this person's a powerful person of God. I know that you do so much more in this person. And, you know, and God spoke to me. I'm speaking to you all the time. I'm talking to you that you are like your children. You have selective hearing. You hear what you want to hear. Don't want to hear it, you don't hear it. But if it's something you want to be about, you're going to hear it. Now, that is so true. We do. We are like our children. But anyway, that's just something that he spoke to me and answered my question. Every time he answers me, he's speaking to all of his children, I feel like, most of the time. Anyway, to get to the point, actually, is the Bible study coming up that Redemption Recovery for Women will be doing. And the name of the Bible study is Reclaiming Your Joy. And it's the author is Lorraine Hill. And she's from Pakistan. And she came to the United States and started, you know, went to college here. While she was in college, she had heard about God. And she didn't know what to believe. So what she decided to do was to read the Bible from the front to the cover, to the end, from the front to the back, make a bond. God, and she's telling everybody else about what God can do for them. But this Bible study is by Lorraine Hill, Reclaiming Your Joy. It's a Bible study on learning how to experience consistent joy in our lives and how to overcome our joy stealers, things like worry, people, disappointment, and unforgiveness. I'm going to quote her. She says, "We don't overcome this world by completely retracting ourselves from this world. We overcome this world by focusing on God and being about him." I want to give you an example of a joy experience I had one time. It wasn't in church. This just goes to show you God is with you everywhere you go. You have to open yourself up to him. If you've not experienced this kind of joy in some time, then you definitely need to come to this Bible study. But what the joy I experienced one day, I was washing my car, and I was cleaning the car, and I had praise and worship music on, and as I was washing my car, I started feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit just fill me. And it was so powerful, and it was unlike anything. I was a new Christian, so it was unlike anything I had ever felt before in my life. But I felt him fill me with his presence, his holiness. And like I was standing in the midst of his holiness. And all of a sudden, tears started streaming down my face, which I do a lot now, but anyway, tears were streaming down my face, and I'm thinking, why am I crying? This feels so good. And it was tears of joy that I felt just in the presence of God. You don't have to be in church to feel that. You can feel that anywhere that you open yourself up to God. He is there. He's there for you. He's there with you. But that Bible study, I plan for it to start the first Monday in August, which is August the 4th. So I will need to know who all will want to be a part of that. What I intend to do is be here at the church at 5:30. For those of you who want to talk, have issues or concerns or problems you'd like to talk about, I'll be here at 5:30. You'll do that till 6:15. And that hopefully will give anyone who wants to talk time to talk. So if you want to just be about the Bible study, come at 6:15. We will start promptly, and it will go until 8 o'clock. But I just want to encourage everybody that can be a part of that to come be a part of that. Because I really believe, if you think about the circle that I feel like I've taken in the past several months, 6 to 7 months, when God first spoke to me here about our focus not being on God. Josh, when he was talking this morning, was talking about our problems, and we need to look to the hill, to where our help comes from. And to when he spoke to me that, you know, we can't see him for our problems. And then he put this Bible study on my heart. I went away from this Bible study. I looked at other Bible studies, and I kept going back to this Bible study. I'm like, God, we're recovery, you know. And he showed me that I'm thinking, just like a lot of other people in here are thinking about redemption, recovery. You got to find your joy to overcome. To overcome. You've got to find your joy and keep your joy. And I'm going to close with some scripture that he also gave me. It's reading in Hebrews. And if everybody wants to turn there, you can. You don't have to. But it's Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 4. And I have a King James Version Bible. But I'm not going to read from it. I don't believe that that's the only Bible that you can read to get to heaven, so I want to clarify that. I keep looking at Josh because he's preached about this before, but I do believe it was the first Bible ever written. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But anyway, this translation that I'm going to read from is NIV, and I want you to think about this. Stop and think about each and every scripture here. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, what that's talking about, for those of you that may not remember exactly, before chapter 12, it's talking about all those who come before us. It's talking about Abraham, Isaac, all of the great heroes of faith. And Enoch and Abel, and just there are so many that we can look to. Moses, Noah, all the great heroes of faith, and that's what this is referring to. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. That speaks volumes to me, because no matter what we do, no matter what we say or where we go, we will not shed blood that Jesus shed for us. Look to him, to where your help comes from. Thank you.
That is Monday night, okay? Come on, ain't gonna hurt if you want to worship. Amen. How many knows that He is God? Hallelujah. Can you stand with me? Can you stand with me one more time? Okay. Thank you for being here. I humbly stand before you this morning. I've never learned how to do this. I hope I never do. I so depend upon Him, His Spirit. So this morning, if I do nothing but share these powerful scripture with you, and do say something about these scriptures, then powerful things have already been spoken. Thank you, Ginger, for sharing that word about recovery. And this morning, the word, and she did not know this, this is about recovery. This is about God recovering things in your life that you lost. And we've all been there, my friend. There's nobody in this room that's exempt. So you can't look at your neighbor and say, that's for you. No, it's for you. So turn to somebody and say, this word is for you. Now turn to yourself and say, this word's for me. And this powerful word is found in the book of Kings, 2 Kings. So I want to share, I had a fancy video I was going to do at the beginning. Becky, she's learned by now, you know, just roll with punches. And we didn't end up playing the video. That's all right. You never know what's going to happen here. And that's an awesome thing, okay? And I pray, Holy Spirit, today that you work and minister in the hearts of your people today. We thank you for the ministry that you've already accomplished here today. And we know that if anything is accomplished or anything is done, it'll be because you will do it. So, Father, we thank you. We give you permission to alter, to change, to design, to recreate, to do anything that you desire to do here to make this work for the betterment of your kingdom. I pray that the Word of God will go forth and it will accomplish where you send it. Lord, that not one word will drop. And Father, I pray that you would hide us behind the cross. Hide us in the cross, Lord. Help us, Lord, tonight, this day, to be an instrument, Father God, of your grace. Lord, help us to be accurate. Help us not to err, Father. And help us, Lord, to complete the task you set before us. And we do it humbly, for we ask it in Christ's name. Can everybody shout amen? Amen. All right, let's go fast with this. This is 2 Kings chapter 6. This is a strange scripture. Not many people ever heard these scriptures in the Bible or read about these scriptures in the Bible, but it is the Bible. Amen? Anything between these two lids is the Bible. Amen? You may not have heard it a lot, but it's in the Bible. So what you're going to hear today reminds me of a little story. Hang on there with me. Of a boy went home. Little boy went home from youth or Bible school or whatever, and went home and he got in the car with his dad. And his dad said, "What did your teacher teach on tonight?" And the little boy said, "Well, he taught about Moses and the Red Sea. Moses got between the Pharaoh and the Red Sea." And he said, "What did he do? What did he do to get out of that?" He said, "Well, God sent some tanks down there and sent some bazookas and he sent these things." And dad said, whoa, wait a minute, whatever his name was. I don't believe it happened that way. Well, and the little boy replied to his dad, said, "Well, Dad, I knew if I told you like it really was, you wouldn't going to believe it anyway." So how many knows that there's some pretty incredible things in the Bible to believe? But you know, we have an incredible God. Amen. How many knows we have an incredible God? Woo! Amen. Turn to somebody and say, "He is awesome." Wow, this God, Dakota, you serve is an awesome God. They ain't nobody, excuse the English, Mrs. R. They ain't nobody like him. There ain't nobody you're going to ever find going to be like him. There's only one true and living God, and his name is Jehovah. He's the Almighty God, everlasting Father. Let's get into the Word. All right, 6:1. 2 Kings 6:1. "And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, 'See now, the place where we dwell, you, is too small for us.'" That's the problem we got here at Lost Creek. This place is too small for us. God said, Isaiah 54, it's time to pull up the stakes and expand the borders of your surrounding, because I'm going to do something big in your midst. So you're going to need more room. So how many knows this is not about luxury? It's about room. It's about practicality. That's what the problem was at the school of the prophets. And some of you did not know this, but it was prophesied 20-some years ago. While Kathy and I was attending another church, there was a man that came out of the blue, CA, and landed in the service one night, and he gave a prophetic word to us. He said, God is going to use you and Mrs. R. He's going to use you in a unique way. God is going to, he's going to create and make a school of prophets in your midst. God is going to raise up a school of prophets that will go forth and speak the word of God. Speak the word of God. So this morning, there is a lot of powerful things, but God is raising up prophets in our midst. This was the school that Elisha mentored, and this school was running out of room, and so they needed more room. So one of the young preachers came to Elisha, and he said, now, there's not enough room for us. It's too small for us. So turn to somebody one more time. I know I'm messing you up. Turn to somebody one more time and say, listen, we got to have more room. Well, we got to have more room because all the family's not even here today. You get all the family here, you got to have elbow room. Brandon, you got to have elbow room, buddy. Are you there, Andon? Amen. Got to have elbow room. Okay, let's go on down. Verse 2. Please, let us go to the Jordan, and let every man take a beam there, fell to us, and make a place where we may dwell. And so he answered, go. Everybody shout, go. God, that's what God wants you to do this morning, is go. Get up and go. Take a hold of God violently. Get up and go. Quit sitting around. Get up and go. Do you know the first two letters of the word gospel is go? Well, I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Then one said, please, please consent to go with your servants. And he answered, I will go. Turn to somebody and say, I will go. Will you go, Teresa? Will you go? How many knows that's a powerful statement? I will go, Tiffy, I will go. Then what he said in verse 4, so he went with them. Elisha went with them. And they came to the Jordan, and they cut down trees. Sounds like a Lost Creek project. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, alas, master, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I lost my axe head. I lost my last, so you know what, get another axe. But this was a problem because this was a borrowed axe head. How many knows that everything that God has given you, he's loaned it to you? You've got to take care of what he gives you. Listen, friend, your children are not yours. God gave them to you, loaned them to you. What are you going to do with your kids? So these are gifts. These are things that God gives us. Your talents, your abilities, your skills, your giftedness, all those things come from God. So, he lost his axe head. It fell into the water. Well, most axe heads, you know what they'll do. And he set out, said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Verse 6, we're almost there. So the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed them the place. God's going to show you a place this morning, Keisha. And this is a place that every one of us need to view and look at in our lives. He's going to show you the place where you lost your joy, where you lost your passion, where you lost your fire, where you lost your gifts. Jesus, the grace of God, is going to show you the place where you dropped it, where it fell off the end of the axe, and it hit the water and it sunk to the bottom. How many know sometimes You can be so lost that your life sinks. How many knows that? Amen. He's going to preach while we're standing up. No, I'm almost through. Verse 6. So where did it fall? And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and he threw it in there. And he made, in the King James Version said, and the iron swam. Oh, imagine God, a God that can make iron swim. And verse 7. Therefore he said, pick it up for yourself. So he reached out his hand and he took it. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Can I talk to you for just a few minutes? And when I look at this, don't say I'm timing the Lord. I'm not. But I want to be a steward. I want to keep you. I don't want you to start fiddling around your pocket purses in a minute. And I don't want you to start looking around and saying, well, this preacher needs to get done so I can go have me a burger. Or have me a basket of fish. Whatever the case might be. Just let me keep you. Let the Holy Spirit keep you in flow for just a few minutes. Let Him speak into your heart this morning. Because we're talking about recovering things that you lose in life. David lost something one time, and one of the greatest men in the Word of God was David. I guess I can relate to him, not because he was a great man, because he made great mistakes. Anybody in here ever make a great mistake before? I guess I'm just preaching to myself this morning, right? I guess there are not many people here that ever make mistakes. Well, I've made plenty of mistakes, friend. In my life. I've made so many, I don't want to even talk about some of the ones that I've made. Some of the blunders and sins that my life has been about. But you know what? It's about grace. That's what recovers us, friend. Because grace reaches down in our undeserving state and He lifts us up out of the mire and the clay and He sets our foot on a rock. David lost everything. David lost his kingdom. David lost his family. David lost his subjects. David lost just about everything that he had except his own life. He lost his own son. He lost his son in an illegitimate birth. He lost a son that way. He had different family. But he lost a lot of things. And one day he came back to his camp. And David, you got to remember, David was on the run and during this story, and David was running from his enemies. And while he was away with his enemy, with his ragtag army of misfits, God had gathered around him. He came back and he found that everything he had was lost and gone, had been burnt in a fire. And David sunk in his spirit. And God told David, He said, it's not all lost, David. He said, I want you to get up from where you are, and I want you to go back, and I want you to recover everything you lost. So this morning, God is about taking us to the place where we lost it and helping us find what we lost and walk in it again. Walk in the powerful grace and the purpose of God, because God has a purpose bigger than your own plan. Amen. Your plan is pale in the comparison of the plan that God has for you. God has so much in store for you. We only look at that in part. We only see dimly through a smogged up window. We can only look in pieces and section of this. But if you could see the great things that God has in store for you. But David lost it all, and God told him to go back. And David recovered it all. So this morning, here was about a young preacher. Probably this story takes place somewhere around the 8th century. So you got two kingdoms. You got the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. You got the kingdom of Israel and you got the kingdom of Judah. So you got to understand, this was a time of the kings. A lot of things going on. Powerful miracles taking place. During the life of Elijah, you know, you've heard Heath minister some lately, and you've heard other ministries minister some lately about Elijah. What a powerful man of God that he was. But Elisha was his student at one time. Elisha sat with him as these young men did, are sitting with Elisha. And they were schooled by one of the greatest men of God at that time. A man who moved by the power of God. But a man sometimes that was moved by his emotions. He was up and down. A lot in his life, Elijah was. But Elijah had gone on. You know the story. And he gave the mantle to Elisha. And Elisha took up the mantle and smote the Jordan River. And he went to the other side. You've heard the story. That was a message not too long ago about that. So Elisha was the young prophet who was schooling another school of prophets. And they had a problem. The problem was the vision of the place was too small for the thing that God was doing. And we need to open our eyes and look around and look outside of our own world, our own tiny little world, our own tiny little box, and see that God is doing something bigger than your world. Amen? Come on, don't patty cake. Don't. It's like, well, I don't know if I should clap. How many knows that He's worthy of your praise? So you're doing that for God, and I understand that, see. But understand, there was a problem. There was too little space for what was happening. So they went on a mission, and they started cutting trees. They went down to the Jordan River. The Jordan River in Scripture is a powerful place. It's a spiritual place. One day, you're going to cross the spiritual Jordan. You see, the word means descend, because the Jordan River starts at a high mountain and goes down to the Dead Sea. And it travels a great distance, and some of its drops are very sharp. So the Jordan River is a very unpredictable river. But spiritually, it also represents the Jordan Sea. It represents a place of new beginning. A new place, a place of new starts. Has there been anybody in here who's ever had a fresh start in their life, whose life was messed up by alcohol? Who one day was digging in the yard? Come on, get it out of there, brother. And he found about 4 feet under the ground a silver cross. Why do you think that cross was there? To remind this man right here that alcohol didn't have to take him down. Drugs don't have to wreck your life. There's a God who wants to be a part and made a way for your life to recover. Recover your life. Take your life back. Some of you need to take your life back. Take the life that God gave you. Don't give it away. If you're giving it away, you're selling for cheap. Wow. Why? If you gained the whole world and lost your soul, what would you give in exchange for it? There's nothing more valuable than the presence of God and knowing God's in your life. But here, they started cutting trees down. We're going to build a bigger place. Sounds like Rick and Harless and some of them been working here. You see, that little place, piece of property up there, it's not about a kingdom of men. It's about a kingdom. It's about a kingdom of God. It's a God thing. It's about a God thing. You see, a miracle is a God thing. A miracle isn't a man thing. It's a God thing. Because a real miracle, you got to understand, Elisha was walking in the midst of great miracles. He was seeing things happening. We're in the New Testament church. We're walking in the midst of great miracles. Signs and wonders are following. We're seeing people get up from the dead. Well, haven't seen any coffins open up lately? Whoa. Then you need your eyes open. I said, you need your eyes open. Come on. I said, you need your eyes open. I said, you need your eyes open. Thank you. I don't mean to be crazy. I'm serious. The Bible said these signs and wonders will follow those that believe. Every day of your life, there should be signs and wonders following you. It'll be like a shadow following you everywhere you go. Eyes will be popping open, deaf ears opening, dead getting out of the grave. Now, Camp 18, one of the most powerful things, it's a prison camp down in Coburn, Virginia. I don't think they even call it Camp 18. Oh man, how God is doing things there in the midst of that camp. Signs and wonders. These men are filled with God. So filled with God, they've taken a hold of it. They've taken a hold of God. And they're walking in the midst of their areas. It's a small camp, 110 or 20 men. But these men are making an impact. And the men who come regularly to these services are going out. CA, they're going out in the midst during the week. They went to the warden the other day and said, "Warden, we're not getting enough. We're having two services a month, but that's not enough." So they went to the warden. Imagine, these are the men, the inmates. They went to the warden and said, "Warden, let us have another service every week." So these men are going throughout the compound and they're changing men's lives. God's changing men's lives through signs and wonders that's occurring in these men's life. Let me tell you something. You walk in the plan and purpose of God and things will change around you. Listen, the world shouldn't be changing you. You need to be changing the world. You don't let your friends who are still a part of that world change or influence your life. No, you get up in the world and God gives you to change them. Amen. So, they went down and they said, "We'll go." God's looking for some people this morning. He'll say, "I'll go. I'll go. I'll go. I'll do it, Lord." You know what? In ministry, not only in ministry as a corporate ministry, but in our personal lives, and that's what's been reflected here. That's what's been looked at here in the scripture, that we can lose the cutting edge in our life. We can lose the sharpness in our life. How many knows you can't cut trees with a dull axe? Here's the axe man. Need a reality show. Rick the Axe Man. This man is a chainsaw fanatic. He knows how to sharpen chainsaws. He knows how to use chainsaws. And he does. But he told me the other day, he says, I see him filing that blade all the time, those little blades on those chains. Because he says, "I can't cut trees with it." You can't cut trees with a dull axe. Ecclesiastes 10:10, a man that's wise will sharpen his axe, because the sharper the axe, the harder, the quicker the blow. So we're looking at people today in this religious world that we're living in that are doing a lot of swinging, but they're not doing a lot of doing. There's not a lot of trees falling. There's a lot of swinging, but there's not a lot of trees falling. Let me tell you something. You can shout, talk, jump, scream. You can do backflips. You can roll in the floor. You can do all the nine yards. But if you have lost the miracle and the wonderment of what God wants to do in your life, you're just swinging a stick at a big tree. God put a blade on the end of that axe. God put sharpness there. And this morning, know this, they started falling trees because they agreed to go. And they went and they came to this Jordan and they began to cut trees down. A place where new things begin. Let me tell you something. Your life may, you have had a past, and everybody in this room has a past. I don't care how good you are. Don't you judge somebody else's past. You don't judge somebody's pain until you walk in their pain, friend. You don't judge somebody's past until you've been in their past. Religion will judge your past. You ain't got it figured out. Quit acting like you do. Nobody's got it all figured out. That's why we need God. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. You know what? I can believe recovery for my sins here for myself. But when it comes to somebody else messing up, oh my, I don't believe the blood of Jesus will cleanse that. Every sin, every wrong, every word, every deed, everything you've ever done has been washed and will be washed under the precious blood of God's Son. Hold that. Because this is the place where we recover. There is no second places. There is no third places. The cross is where you recover. The cross. Begin to cut those trees at the Jordan, at the place. The place. How powerful that is. The children of Israel crossed through with the Ark of the Covenant. And God rolled the waters back and they walked through on dry ground. It was a place where Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Wow, what a place. The Jordan River. It's a place where change takes place. Wow. Some of you wonder why you're having problems. It's because you need to grab a hold of the change that God wants to do in your life. You need to embrace it. That couple's got to go. He's got to work. So, that's all right. You're fine, Keisha. I just don't want anybody to lose what we're talking about right here. You know how people are. I'm just saying. You know how people are. We all people. I'm people. You people. Notice what God's saying here. At the Jordan, they begin to cut trees. At Jordan, things begin to change. At the Jordan River, a place of new beginnings. Oh, man. Jesus was baptized by John at the Jordan River. You heard the heavens open up and the Spirit of God descend like a dove and say, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." It was there that the gospel began to be a reality. The Jordan, such a powerful place. It was there, the Jordan River, that Elijah led the young prophet across the river and smote it with his mantle and it leaped back. And it was there as Elisha was coming back with a double portion, smote it again and it laid back. What a powerful place. God's got a powerful place for you this morning. He has a place of new beginnings. And God wants you to see the future He has for you. Not about the past that's been wrecked and ruined. He wants you to look into the eyes of hope and see a powerful plan that He has for you. So, they cut down the trees, but while they were cutting the trees, the young prophet, he was swinging away. They were all doing a good thing. We can all be doing good things and still lose our way. Amen? We can do good things. We can be the ambassadors of doing good. I heard somebody say one time, if the devil can't make you do bad, He'll keep you busy. It's more than being busy. It's more than going to church. It's more than teaching a class. It's more than preaching. It's more than driving a bus. It's more than doing all those things. Those are awesome, and we've got to have them. We've got to have warriors. But God likes people who just hang out with Him. Amen. God wants a people who will just hang out and have a relationship with Him. Just hang out with me. I forget that sometimes as a pastor. God has to remind me. Guess what? Pastors can be busy. We can get busy, but we can get too busy for God. So God has to take the level, jerk it back up, and get the bubble back in the beginning. It's all about the cross, my friend. It ain't about you. It ain't about your agenda. It ain't about what you've done or what you're going to do. It's about the cross. It's about what He did. And this young man was swinging away, doing a good work, doing a good work. And some of you are doing a good work, but God's reminded me that even in doing good, we can be weary, Paul says, in doing good. And he said, if we'll not be weary when we are doing good, He says we'll reap if we don't faint. If we don't give up, if we don't give in, if we don't give out, God, it's got a day of refreshing, a day of renewal, a day of restoration, a day of you recovering. You lost something. And so in his swing and his doing good, he lost his axe handle. And he kept swinging. He noticed he wasn't doing any good. Let me tell you something. Some of you got to realize, wake up and open your eyes and realize that you're doing a lot of stuff, but are you making an impact? Are you changing the world? Are you cutting trees? Are you winning the lost for Jesus? Are you changing lives? Is God using you? And he realized that suddenly he was just beating the trees. You know what? If we're doing it on our own strength, or we're doing it with a dull axe, guess what? Your relationship with God can sometimes get dull. Not one amen. Well, evidently, everybody here, you just hunky-dory with Jesus, right? Right? Huh? Can you lose your joy? Sister Jenny was talking about the powerful things about recovery. It's about helping people realize they can recover their joy. They can get their strength back. They can get their purpose back. They can get God's plan back. It's about getting back what you lost. You can lose your purpose. You can get lost in the way and you're just beating trees with an axe handle. Nothing really happening in your life. Nothing happening in your life. You're swinging. You're going through the motion. How many knows that sometimes we can go through the motion and not be accomplishing a lot? We could just be swinging Josh and hitting a tree with a stick. I guarantee you won't cut many trees that way, Roman. You got to have something on the end of that stick. You got to have an axe head. But he lost it and it hit the water. The first thing he did is his heart sunk because he knew that wasn't his. Oh no! It's in the Jordan River. How am I going to get that out? The Jordan's muddy sometimes. I can't see. I can go down and swim like a crawfish and get down under there. But how am I going to see this tiny axe head in the middle of all this lostness? And he was concerned because it wasn't his. I want you to know, what God has given us is not ours. Do you understand? The gifts that God's given you is not yours, Jimmy. If they were yours, you could do what you wanted to with them. But the fact is, God has given you gifts. He's given you purpose. He has given you mission. He has given you joy. He has given you strength. He has given you talents. He's given you ability. Why? So we can just have it. so we can complete the purpose and plan that God has for us. And that's about His kingdom. That's about His kingdom. I'm almost there. Everybody say amen. Are you still with me? Do you understand? There's people in here that's lost your joy. You've lost your passion. You have to talk yourself into doing stuff. You have to psych yourself up. You have to psych yourself up to read the Word of God. You have to psych yourself up, you know, to worship God. I've been there. And there are times in ministry that I've been there. There are times in ministry that I've had to make myself go and preach the gospel. What? What? Yes. There are times when we lose something powerful, important. We lose the wonderment of what we are about. We lose the passion of what we're about. Some of the greatest men in God's Word lost the wonderment. It's a slow fade, my friend, when things begin to slip away. When you begin to slip away and you start losing things, you start looking for something else to use in its place. You start looking for other things to substitute and put back in its place. Let me tell you something. The devil's got a box full of stuff you can put back in the place of joy and purpose, fulfillment. He'll give you things. He'll give you worry. He'll give you fear. He'll give you discouragement. He'll give you depression. He'll give you oppression. He'll give you these things. But let me tell you something this morning. God's looking. He's looking for an army who will stand up, rise up, and say, God has a plan for me. I'm going to find what I've lost, and I'm going to stop walking in it again. I'm going to start living the purpose of God. Everything we have, God's given it to us. He's given it to you. He's given it to us. 2 Corinthians 6 and 5. The axe that I borrowed, the axe that I had, it was borrowed. That's why he was so upset. What concerns me is the fact that in this religious world that we live in a church that should be driven by passion for Christ, is really we've got to a place that lots of times people don't care. We don't care. We quit caring. That's the hallmark of your faith, is to care. Care for sinners. Care for the lost. Care for the downtrodden, the distraught. Care for the hopeless. You see, that's what we've got to do as a church. Our mission should be bringing hope to the hopeless, life to the lifeless, strength to the weak. That's what we're about. That's what we're about. And we can't do the work and the purpose and ministry of God with this dull or lost axe head. We can't just keep swinging the handle when the sharp edge is gone. When we've lost our sharpness, we've lost that edge. Most powerful place that you find your edge and keep your edge is on your knees. Hear me, Pastor, and everybody's involved in ministry today. It's prayer. It's prayer. And we can get so busy swinging the axe with the dull handle, with the empty handle and the dull axe head that we fail to pray. So this morning, and winding all this together here at the end, it's not to bring condemnation or bring a sense of feeling of guilt to you, but to bring an awakening in our spirit that God is sounding an alarm. And He's speaking into our hearts today. And He's saying that we're standing at the place. We're standing at the place of great change and great opportunity. And we've lost something. We've lost it. And I know we're in the middle of the summer. It's a challenge for ministries and pastors for ministry to maintain a powerful sense of edge. Edge. Powerful edge. Because we're distracted. And these things are not bad things. Vacations and trips and things like that, they're good things and you deserve them. You work hard. But we can't lose the passion of our mission. When we visit the beach, we ought to visit with a powerful sense of evangelism. Yes, I'm going to go down and stick my ducky feet in the water and I'm going to splash, but I'm also going to give a cross to somebody and tell somebody they need Jesus. And when I come back to Lost Creek, I'm going to come back fired up, rested up, prepared to make a difference in my world. But the young preacher lost it. Lost it and it sunk to the water. Closing right here. I want you to know something this morning. Miracles begin where repentance starts. And we have forgotten how to repent as people of God. Guess what? There's still the preaching of the cross and there's still the preaching of repentance. Amen? Jesus died for sinners. How many knows that's still the gospel message? Jesus died for sinners. He died to set the sinner free. But the sinner or the person displaced or lost finds his purpose again, finds the plan of God again when he repents, when he falls before God, before an open heaven, and he cries out, God, what am I going to do? I've lost it. Anybody ever been there before? How many's ever lost it? Have you ever lost it before, Roman? Have you ever been to the place that the world give up on you? Friends gave up on you. But there was a God looking down from this one day. And he said, he's mine. I've got a plan for Roman. I've got a plan for him. I'm going to walk my purpose and plan in his life. You know where Roman found that? You correct me if I'm wrong. I believe you repented. Probably not here for the first time. But one Sunday I saw you repenting here. And you found Jesus, amen? And amen? Is everybody with me? So the place of your miracle begins with your repentance. Everybody wants miracles, but we won't repent. We've lost our joy, but we won't repent. Because there are things that stand in the way between us and our joy. We want the purpose and plan of God. And there are things that stand in our way, as Ginger was illustrating earlier, and we must repent. We must say, God, I'm sorry. We've quit. We've taken repentance out of the church. We've taken it out of the Bible. We've quit repenting. When we do people wrong, we ought to repent. How do you know that you repent? Because you make it right. You make it right with God. Then you try to make it right with people. It's called repentance. Repent. Repent. Repentance, Jesus. John cried from the River Jordan, repentant, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus is coming. And how many knows that he's coming looking for a bride who has repented, who has had their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb of God? It's because our people repented. I've messed up, Lord. I've lost it. I've lost my passion, but I'm going to find it. I've lost my joy, but you're going to help me find it. I've lost my purpose, and I'm just hitting trees. I'm just going through the motion. So that miracle is going to begin with repentance. In verse 6 it said, the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. Right here, real quickly, I'm going to let you go. God showed him the place. He showed him the place. God shows us the place. The place where you lost it is the place you got to find it again. The Bible says in Revelation, he says, remember from where you have fallen and repent and go and do that work again. Remember, Rick. We got to remember. God takes us a journey down memory lane. And he takes us to the place where we've laid it down, Jim, or we've lost it. And it fell in the water and it sunk. There are people here this morning that hope has sunk. And all you've heard is religious. All you've heard is a religious society casting out and taking away your hope and robbing you of your dream. But God's here to remind you that he's here to restore dreams that have been lost, to restore hope that's been lost. God has been so faithful. Every Sunday there are people that come to these altars repenting of their sin. God changing their life. I'm looking at this room full of change right here. God said this is going to be a spiritual hospital where the sick and the wounded will be attended to. When people come here, they're broken, they're hurt, they're cast down, they've been rejected, they've been wounded. And God pours out his grace and his love on people. And we see them Sunday after Sunday coming repenting. And I don't mean this in a negative way because I don't want to play a dollar in the negative bank. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. You're looking at me like a deer been lost in the lights. And we're not affected. When we are not affected by people getting saved, we need to repent. Where's the amen corner? I'm not hearing any shouts from the amen corner. I've seen people, and please understand where this is coming from. I've seen people praying and crying and repenting. And people talking about plans where they're going to eat. Whew. Sounds a little harsh, but I'm saying something is not level. When people are these altars, man, we ought to be pounding on top of them, praying, lifting them up, bringing people, restoring people, helping people find what they lost, where they lost it. Last point. He showed him where he lost it. He showed him where he lost it. Where did it fall? He said. He said, here. So he cut a stick. He cut a stick. The word for cross, and one translation says stake. He cut a stake and he threw it in the water where the axe head fell. He threw the stick in the water where the axe head fell. When your life was about failure, when it was about ruin, when it was about hopelessness, when it was about lostness, when it was about wanting to take your own life, when it was about losing it all, when it was about running home and having nothing, God cut a stake down for you. And on that stake, Come here, brother. You hang around me long enough, you're going to have to stretch some, okay? Hang up here. Get on this cross, my brother. You hold it. He cut a stake down and he put somebody on that stake. And he threw it in the midst of that failure. He threw it in the midst of that river of trouble and trial. He threw it in the midst of that hopelessness because everything was lost. Grant, I lost it. I lost it. I lost it. I lost it, Will. When you were hanging out in the... Come on, get up here. When you were hanging out at the Old Navy store, walking in there, hiding behind the men's apparel, pants and shirts. How many knows you can't hide from God, Josh? You can't hide. Tell me, come on. Tell me one place you're going to hide. You can't hide. Where you want to hide your sins is in the cross. And the one. So here was a young man who was living in a sense of lostness. I said, Will, God loves you. Kathy would say, God loves you, Will. We haven't forgotten about all those powerful times in youth. Remember that, Will? He'd sort of sheepishly smile and hold his head down. Because, Joyce, he hadn't found what he lost. There are some of you here this morning, you've lost your joy. And you're walking around like you've been winged on grandma's salt pickle jar. You're sour. Your attitude, your disposition. You're mad. Because we could lose. We could lose a lot. But there's a God in heaven who gave a lot so you can gain what you lost this morning. Can somebody shout with me? Can somebody shout with me? It's time for you to take it back. Get it back. Get it back. He threw the stake in the water. That iron axe head did something remarkable, Grant. It started swimming like a big old salmon. Somebody said incredible. Whoa, grace is incredible, my brother. Such a good shoulder, I'm going to yank it up. Listen, grace is incredible. God's love is incredible. God's amazing grace is incredible. I'm struck by the wonder of His grace. We don't deserve it. I lost what wasn't even mine. I abused what even wasn't mine. I wasted what wasn't even mine. She's okay, CA. She's helping Pastor preach. You leave her alone. Let God take care of her. Let God take care of you. I'm going to quit on this point. Lord Jesus. The place where he lost it. He said, where did you lose it? Right here. Remember where you lost it? Somewhere back down the road you lost it. You lost your joy. You lost your peace. You lost your purpose. Man, there's some people in here that's found some powerful stuff lately, man. I've been getting high on all these people finding stuff. Whew. I'm sorry. You say, what? Pastor's getting high. Yeah, man. I get high when I find that there's people. Come on, stand up, my brother. when they find what they lose. 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 Maisha. When they find what they lose. And this is what he did. He threw the tree in and the iron began to swim. And when the iron came to the surface, this is what he told him to do. Pick it up! Pick it up, Rick! Pick it up! Reach down and pick up that axe head again. Reach down and pick up that ministry again. Reach down and pick that joy up again. Reach down and pick that peace up again. Quit selling yourself short. Quit washing. Some of you need to come back to the place where you lost it and pick it up again. Pick it up. Turn to your neighbor. And we got to watch how we do this. Let's not grieve the Holy Spirit. Turn to your neighbor and said, God said, pick it up. You remember the morning? Remember the time, Jenny? Remember the time? Come here. Quit hanging on. Quit tying yourself behind this fiddle right here. Remember the place where you lost it, Jenny? But you remember the place where you found it, didn't you? I'm a blessed dad. I remember at 7 years of age preaching in Scott County, Virginia. I believe it was Scott County. And seeing my daughter, a little 7-year-old girl, come down the aisle and surrender her life and give it to Jesus. But you know what? Life happened. Struggles happen. Issues happen. Problems happen. And Jenny lost that. God gave her a gift. She's a psalmist. She's a worshiper. No matter how much you agree or disagree with her music, she's a worshiper. She's a psalmist. She's a prophetess. And she lost it. She lost it. And God took her back to the place where she lost it. And she found it. And now God's using her more now than he ever has in her whole life. What God is saying, what you've lost, I'll restore it. You'll recover it. I'll use you in a greater way than you could ever imagine. That's for you. Get up. Up here, brother. I know you're saying I'm crazy. Amen. We need to be violent sometimes, Rick. We need to shake up and stir the faith in us sometime. God has a plan for you, brother. It's bigger than the plan you see for yourself. Quit underestimating the power of Jesus in your life. He's equipped you. He's given you the goods. He's placed giftedness in you. He's placed abilities and skills within you that have you yet to tap. And yes, yes, you've been at the cross. Yes, yes, you have been faithful. Yes, but the place you wrestle is the place you'll find me. So God's saying to you, Josh, I've got a plan. I've got a purpose. I haven't resigned. I haven't relented. I haven't laid it down. And the work that I placed in you, I will do a greater work. So God says, reach down into the water, into the Jordan, and grab your axe head and start swinging again. Some devil's head and you need to start swinging at it. You've taken enough cheap shots from him. Sharpen your axe. It's time to cut giants' heads off. Some of you need to reach down and pick it back up again. Reach down there and get your joy again. Get that joy again. Get that purpose again. Get that peace again. Get that strength again. Get that again. Remember that night? CA? Man, I never seen the power of the Lord hit a man like I said, CA. The cross was up there. I believe Tony, Brother Tony was here doing a fresh fire service. We was at the end or beginning. CA came up on that stage and grabbed a hold of that cross. And the power of the Lord almost threw him off the stage. I'm saying, well, that's all well and good. But sometimes God wants to take us to the place. And he wants us to pick up where we laid it down. Because God has a purpose for you, Dakota. I know college is important, brother. I know the things that God's going to do down there in the Buffalo country. That's important. But the most important work is the work that he's doing in you. For he's already equipped you. He's already gifted you. Don't underestimate the power of God's grace and his love in your life and the provision that he's made for you. For he'll provide all your needs. The things that you can't see, you'll wonder when they're there, where did that come from? It's because it's come from God's hand. Because your hands have been faithful to swing the axe. God says it's time to sharpen the axe. It's time to sharpen the way. I used to watch Grandpa Rick sharpen that old double-edged axe. It may have been that one. He'd spend hours sharpening that old axe. Why are you doing that, Grandpa? I got to cut wood. We got souls to win for Jesus. You ain't going to win them with a dull axe. You ain't going to win them with no axe head on your handle. Pick up what you've laid down. If you've lost it, go back to the place. The Holy Spirit's showing you right now. Go back to the place right now. And find it. Find it. Find what you've laid down. Find what you've lost. And know that God give it to you. He's faithful and he's just. I promise you, he is faithful and just. Jason, called on your life years ago, my brother, but you got distracted by life from the purpose. It might have been a slow fade, but you laid it down and you lost your purpose in the middle of that. But God took you back to the place where you lost it and you found it. And I'm proud of you, brother. And I know God is working in you. Know that God is working in you. And what God began in you, he'll be faithful to complete what he started in you. Get down where grace found you. Pick it up again. Grab it. This is your day. This is your day to grab what you lost. Come on, grab your joy. I want my joy back. I want my shout 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 back. Some of you right now, you need to pick it up where you lost it. And I'm not going to ask you to bow your heads. Oh, you thought that was going to come next, didn't you? I'm going to ask you to be bold enough right now. The place where you lost it. Come back to that place. Pick it up again and start swinging harder. Swing harder. Swing harder. This is the hour of midnight. This is the hour you need to grab a hold. Grab that pine. passion again. Grab that stirring again. So if God's showing you the place right now, you come on. Come on, respond right now. I'm going back to the place where I lost my axe head. I'm picking it back up. I'm picking it back up. I'm going to start swinging. Don't base it on a feeling. Don't base it on just an experience. Come on, there's more in this room. There's more in this room. I need your joy, Lord. I need your peace. I need your provision. Somebody else in this room needs to come right now. Come on. Whatever this room, what if everybody in this room just obeyed the Holy Spirit right now? I believe the roof would come off of this place. I believe we would have the first moonroof church in Wise County. That's old school for sunroof. If everybody in this room would just obey the Holy Spirit, pick back up what you lost. Pick the joy back up right now. Life has been in your way. Your problems have been in your way. The business of life, scheduling, this, that, and all these things have got in your way. And you're just swinging the axe. Right now, it's time to get the edge back. Come on. Right now, there's other people in this room need to respond right now to the Holy Spirit. Come on, don't be afraid. We've all been there, friend. I've been there. Right now, come. Come to Jesus. Come right now. Come on. You say, I got to work this out first. No, you ain't going to work it out first. That ain't how it works. That's not how grace works. If you could do it yourself, then Jesus died in vain. Jesus died so you wouldn't have to do it yourself. He did it for you. Just come and receive it and grab a hold of it. Come on. I'm just waiting a second right here. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We need people at the altar. We need people at the altar. Woo! I need him in my life. How more powerful can that be? I need some warriors up here praying. Come on, Lord. I've lost it. You got real joy in your life. Come on. Get high on Jesus. You want something to get high on? Get high on Jesus. You want something to get addicted to? Get addicted to Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. People come and pray with these coming. Lord, I want my joy back. I want my purpose back. I want my strength back, Lord. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, Pastor.